Blog Talk Radio. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Prosy's Corner with author Mara Prose and Nikki W. Did you want to say hi,
good
Nikki?
Morning.
Are you going to say good morning? So let's see. We took a week off for the book launch, which went okay. We won't talk about it because I've just been talking about the book way too much and I'm tired of talking about it. So just buy the book when you see the link. That's all I'm going to say about it today. And, I know, I'm kind of cranky, huh? I better get it together. Let's see, hot topics. So I told Nikki there's been a couple of things in the news that I thought we could talk about. One of them is how people laugh at the most inappropriate things. There was a video that I tagged her on, and there was a ski launch that started going backwards and was throwing people off, and you cannot imagine how many comments were on there of people saying they know they shouldn't be laughing, but they found that funny. I mean, little kids were being thrown off of that. Some were slammed to the ground. I'm not sure how that's funny. I mean, did you get to look at it, Nick?
I did. I think it's funny. But I probably have a 6-6-6-6-2. I laugh at all that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, my best friend thinks that's funny, so.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Poor people. I felt bad for them. I was like.
I didn't.
Ooh.
I was cracking up. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, no. Hey, well, to each their own. Nikki's always the opposite
right.
of me.
Yeah,
right. Let's see. What other announcements do we have, Nikki? I don't know. I'm all over the place today.
I know. And I'm driving if you hear background noise.
Yeah, Nikki's traveling today. So.
Yeah. We are having a family fun day in Arlington today. So we're almost
gonna
there. And I'm just going to park and we're going to park today and play games. Visit with family.
See, that's great. Is our guest on the line? Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you for coming.
Oh, no problem. Been waiting on it.
Yeah. Congratulations on the book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Have you ever had a chance to check out my website?
I did, yes. I'm actually on it right now.
Okay.
So tell us about the book. What is the book about?
Okay, which one? Because I have two that actually dropped today. And I dropped multiples one and multiples two, the unloved one, on December 21st.
Oh, okay. So which one is dropping today then?
A Vulture's Bind and Death of a Boy.
Okay.
Double whammy.
Double whammy. Double trouble.
Yeah. So, well, I guess I can start with either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Vulture's Bond is pretty much, it's a tale. It's not depicted by the cover. I get a lot of people ask me, is it a paranormal or something like that? No, it's an urban suspense thriller. I picked to put werewolves on the front because if you ever seen a vulture is rather ugly. It's not something that you may want to put on the front of a book cover. But I took the theory of how wolves run in packs and how, you know, they're family oriented. They, you know, they fight to death and this, that, and the third. So this family has basically those type of qualities. You know, you got the loyalty, the honor, the respect. They was groomed by their father, which is he's in prison. So he's in a situation to where he can only give them advice and try to instill certain morals and values within the family to keep them together as a whole. So it was his idea for them to establish a vulture's bond for them to be have one another's back during his absence. So that's where wolves come in play on the book cover. Then you may see at the bottom those are diamonds that's supposed to be in the field. So that's kind of their hustle, diamonds. So when you reading the book, it kind of throws you off initially because it pulls off jobs to basically, I'm going to say, retain what has been stolen. But you don't know this. You don't actually know this until later on.
Okay.
But it takes a turn to where you got his two youngest kids, which are twins. There's a girl and a boy. Both of them name is Aaron, but they're spelled different. So in moving forward, they're going off to college, and they're taking some rewards of one of these missions that they went on. And you see a different story playing out in the midst of the true story playing out. So I kind of write like twofold. It seems like I'll be writing two, three stories in one.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't.
I write like that too.
If I tell you too much, then I
yeah,
have
you'll
to
give
you
the
whole story.
Whole story away.
Right.
But
so,
that gives us a good idea of it. So.
Right. But it's basically on, then you have a certain member of this family that's going to kind of falter from those morals and values that was instilled, and that's what's going to cause a rift in basically a chink in their armor, so to speak, to where, you know, they got to either get it together or this problem can actually bring them all down.
I see. Interesting. Okay. So and then the other one you said, Death of a Boy.
Right. My Death of a Boy is like basically the title insinuates, I guess you can say actually a death of a boy in the sense that it starts on his 13th birthday. He's living in conditions where he has an unfit mother. He's fatherless. Only thing he has that has been given by his mother is basically his life and a roof over his head. He has no furniture in his room. There's no food in the refrigerator. Her primary goal is her needs, which is, she's a drug addict, and she sells herself to basically afford her addiction. So he's basically been eating out of trash cans, or he has a couple friends that helps him out from time to time. He goes to school when they get ready. He's basically, at 13, he transitions into, basically, I'm tired of it. I'm not finna keep living my life like this. I've been eating out of trash cans for the last 3 years. I gotta walk past her doing whatever she does in the living room, and she takes out, I mean, she basically verbalizes that she never wanted him. The guy she got pregnant by got her pregnant and left her, and if it was up to her, she wouldn't have never had him, but whatever her reason for actually having him, that doesn't actually play out, but in a sense, at 13, he's put in a situation where he has to make the decision to where, okay, this child I once was has to cease to exist, and I have to man up and do what I need to do.
So ultimately, the gloss of innocence.
He turns to the street to, you know, get what he needs. Basically, that's where he's been growing up anyway, in the street, because he had to find places to eat. He had to, you know, find clothes, and he had to find this and that. No, she's not providing any of this. Only thing she provide with him is a roof over his head, and she feels that that's just due.
So where do you pull your stories from? Do they just come to you, or what inspires you to write your books?
Okay, well, with Death of a Boy, I wanted to write something, because Death of a Boy is the first of a series. So I wanted to write, I was reading a book called, I can't remember the exact name in the book, but the whole book, the collection of books is the Prosperity Bible. So it's 19 different books of the greatest, supposed to be the greatest writings of all time on prosperity. In this book, there is a book, which I can't remember the name of it right now. I want to say it's a master key system, but don't quote me on that. It gave reference to a change, a 7-year cycle of change in everyone's life. And that's what kind of sparked the initial thought. Because I say, okay, it's between 1 and 7, you have this little child from 7 to 13, 14, you adolescent from 14 to 21. So it goes in that type of cycle. So I was like, what if I wrote a book following the life of a child? Well, I said starting in 13, I picked 13, but follows the life of this person through these 7-year change. Well, in a sense, it was kind of weird. It kind of threw me off to do it every 7 years. But based on how I set up the books, it's Death of a Boy 1, 2, and 3 is going to be The Making of a Man 1, 2, and 3, A Man Born 1, 2, and 3, and God Body 1, 2, and 3. So that's going to be 12 books to where I can basically give you. Like, each book may skip a couple years, but you will know what's happening in between those years that you're not getting a full visual. So it plays out into, you get to see. I mean, plus I put a lot of things you see daily that you may not realize. I've done a lot of reading over the last 12 years. You know, a lot of economic manipulation, certain little books like conspiracy theory books and things you may see in certain neighborhoods in America where you're in the hood, you have a liquor store on every corner, a church on the next corner, you have abortion clinics, you have the drug infestation, gang infestation, you have the youth that's out here running wild, education system sucks. So a lot of this, you're going to see a lot of this in this series. So it dwells on basically a lot of the economic manipulations that has taken place that people just see today, but they don't understand where it came from.
That's interesting. You said it's going to be at least 12 books for the Death of a Boy series? Wow.
It's broke down in three. It's broke down in three. Death of a Boy. Then it's Making of a Man, then it's A Man Born, then it's God Body. So, yeah, that'd be 12.
Okay. Very interesting. So how do you find time to do all this writing in your day?
Okay. Well, my secret is I was in prison. I was just released from prison September 14, 2017. So,
wow.
While I wrote majority of these books while I was in prison.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm just getting out and I'm able to, you know, sit at a computer, edit them, revise them, whatever, put a cover on them, and I can put them out. I want to say I seriously started writing in 2013, and once I started, once I put a pen to a piece of paper, it was over. It's just like I couldn't keep enough pens or enough piece of paper. So now I just basically, I haven't written anything new since I've been out. But to go back and reread what I've written in 2013, is like I had to scratch my head sometimes myself. Like, dude, what are you doing? Where do you come up with this?
Wow.
So that was the time I had plenty of time in my life where I had plenty of time. And I utilized to the best of my ability.
That's good. That is really good. And I love your website, and you have your other books on here, and then you even let people read the first 10 chapters of your book.
Right.
That is really generous.
Right, because most authors only give the first chapter. Some will do two.
All right. Well, I give 10 because most of the books, okay, multiples is 40 chapters. Multiples on loved one is 43 chapters. Evoking Vine, I want to say, is 39. And I think Death of Boy is 42. You can learn a lot in 10 chapters, but you're not going to learn half. Not in my books, anyway. You're not going to learn. You're going to learn a few things, and you think you may know what's going to happen in chapter 11, but it's a trick. It's going to throw you off. But, I mean, I've been asked that question before, why you get so many chapters? I said, well, because, I want to reel the reader in if they're willing to take the time to read the first 10 chapters. I know when I was doing submissions, you know, they asked for 3, and when you can't really, I mean, you're going to get a good fair amount of information in the first 3 chapters, but to read 10, it's like, wow, okay, if I read first 10 chapters and it's 30 more chapters, I think I need to read those 30 chapters.
Right, so they're invested, so to speak.
Right. So if I got this part, you need to finish it by now. I try to go into it with a different approach. I've never seen that, so I'm always trying to do something that's different. Like similar to my book cover, that people have to ask me what genre is because it doesn't actually fit into the urban suspense thriller type of look. Especially not the Vulture's Bind or even Multiples or the Multiples 2. I've been asked several times what genre it was. I didn't have to do that with Death of a Boy. I guess that was
that's more self-explanatory. Yeah.
Right.
But it's good that you leave it a little bit more ambiguous like that, though, I believe, because you really don't want to get typecast in the beginning of your writing and then just be stuck in that genre when, you know, your writing is different. So I think it's really good. I really like the book covers. Very creative.
Thank you.
Do you design them yourself or you have someone that does them?
No. I have Mario Patterson. He has a web designing, Mario Designs for You. He did my website. He did my logo. Actually, I'm waiting on him to do some more book covers for me now. The links to Vulture Vine and Death of Boy should be being posted today. So you can find them on Facebook. I think he probably maxed out on his friends on Facebook, but you can follow him on Mario Patterson on Facebook. I can't think of did what it is on Instagram. But his website is Mario Designs for You. And he's good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he looks good.
How did you meet him?
I met him on Facebook.
Yeah,
he was, I was sending out a lot of friend requests, and I seen, well, he was one of them at the time. I seen he had done, a CD cover for 112, I want to say. Either 112 or Jagged Edge. He had done for them.
Uh-huh.
And I seen he was promoting it. He was promoting it hard. And then he had a sale that he done. And I kept seeing. I was like, well, three books, $85 a piece. I'm like, oh, I might need to jump on that. So after I seen it so many times, I'm like, well, I can't keep passing this up. So that's how I end up. Because I previously published multiples before, but it had a different cover. So once I had him do the second cover, I had to get the first one redone. And then he done the Vulture's Mind at the same time.
Okay. So it was like a package deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty affordable. He has, he do a lot of promo. He do other things too, but he does a lot of like deals regularly to where, you know, you can get packages. It don't have to be a book that's going to come out. It can be books from that you plan on putting out a year from now or whatever. But, you know, he's pretty professional.
Uh-huh.
I like to stay ahead of the curve, so I like to get a lot of my stuff done in advance, and that kind of works for him.
Yeah, that is the best way I have found from last weekend. And thinking I had time to do stuff and procrastinating on some things, I will not do that again.
No. But, you know, first time for everything, you have to do things and you learn from your mistakes and you know what to do next time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I missed it or if I'm asking the same question over again. All of your books are written already? Because you said you have Death of a Boy 1, 2, and 3. The Man, 1, 2, and 3, they're already written?
Oh, no. Well, actually, for that series, I have to write 7 more.
Okay.
I have
7.
Death of a Boy, 1, 2, and 3 written. I have The Making of a Man, 1 and 2 written. I have The Making of a Man, part 3 started, but I haven't finished. So I have to complete that series. I have 7 more books to write.
My goodness.
But,
wow.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Let me explain this.
Yeah.
Once I made the decision to actually start writing, like to dedicate my time to writing, based on the time I had while I was in prison, I went to the library probably twice a day. Probably no more than 3 hours at a time, because you have certain hours of the day where you can be in the library that is open. I basically utilized all the time I could outside of working. I was writing rough drafts probably every 30 days. So it got to the point to where I was writing so much I was getting headaches. But I couldn't stop writing. So I had to create a schedule where instead of writing 7 days a week, I write 6. Or instead of writing 2 chapters a day, I write 1. And it expanded my time frame. I mean, because I had to look at it like, dude, you doing all this writing and you letting people read it, but you writing it like it's going to come out tomorrow. So you can slow down a little bit and it still gets done. So, you have to give your mind time to rest, because I can write for 3 hours straight, and then once I stop, I'll be starving, I'll be tired.
Yeah,
get it together, kid. You know, it's not coming out today. You can slow down a little bit. But it was just pouring out of me. So I had to ride the wave, so to speak. Even now, I want to write. But I'm in the process of, you know, getting my company established, building from the ground up, getting these books that I've written. Mostly, the only book that I've written that's out now, Devil of a Boy, I probably wrote that in 2016. Multiples, two, and The Voltage Bond, I wrote that in 2013. So once to go back in my, to get from those books to Death of Boy was probably the 19th book I wrote, I think. The 19th book. So to get from, my writing style changed, because in between all that, I was reading different books on how to write, plot structure. But then I come to find out that I didn't have to read those books. They were good knowledge. It was good, basically a stamp of approval on what I was already doing. So it's like I just had the knack for it. I don't know if it was based on because I read so many books or because, I mean, I took English 101, English 102 in college. So it was like maybe I already was familiar with the format and how to write, but my biggest thing was to continue reading so I can continue learning new words. And I have to give me another writer's thesaurus, which is different than a regular thesaurus.
Yes, it is. People don't understand that.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Mine lives next to my bed, literally. I'm in that thing all day long. It's like, okay, say you have like a phrase or there's words or whatever. It's not so much just like giving you synonyms. It's giving you the context to use it in. So for me, it'll broaden up my idea to where instead of just being plain old flowers, you know, to help me describe the flowers better or whatever. It's just very different from the source, but I don't know how to explain it. Maybe you can explain better than I can, but it's not your typical, let me look up and see what other word I can use here.
Right. It definitely gives you different options. You wouldn't think certain words would apply to one word, but
right,
it will give you a different sense of how to use it in the sentence. Because, I mean, you might look up a simple word, let's say fun, but it might be the whole one side of a page that's going to give you different, but it's going to give you, like, was it based on, like, a question or action or whether it's for sports or where, I mean, it's just going to break it down in a different context to where you'd be like, you can get discouraged a little bit from even using the word, like, wow, I have so many options, but it's definitely a good investment.
Yeah, it is. I actually probably need to get a newer one. I've had mine for so long, but I live by that one. It's so helpful, Nick. But then it can also be a detriment when you're editing too, because you'll want to change every word.
Yeah. I know you.
Yes.
I know you, Mara. You would.
Exactly. Yes, I would. So sometimes I have to like stick it under my bed, away from me. I'm like, you're not looking at that today. You've got things you got to accomplish. You know, you're not editing today, because I will edit myself until the cows come home. I'm telling you.
But I definitely need to get another one.
That's good. Have you planned out what you're going to do from here? Are you going to continue with the books? Do you plan to go into like writing for television shows, movies, script writing?
Well, that is on my agenda. As I lay the groundwork for the books, I'm going to try to tinker with some screenplays. I was supposed to actually write a screenplay before I got out, but the last institution I was transferred to, they only had one of them predated typewriters, and that was kind of discouraging. But I'm going to eventually get this software for my computer to where I can just plug and play with the screenplay, and I'm going to try to, I don't know, I might do multiple, Bethel Boy, something like that, just to play with it to see what comes out. But I am eventually going to start taking it seriously. In the meantime, well, I'm a barber, so I go to barber school, so currently that is taking a lot of my time outside of this, because I got to be in school 5 days a week. So once that's over with, I can be able to actually start checking off some more of my things off my checklist. And I've met quite a few interesting people through another person that's executive producers and directors and writers as well, to where they have read multiples, and they're like, well, you know, a lot of them, well, we can see this going somewhere, being on the big screen, whether it's a TV show or a movie or this, that, and third. So he's like, just keep up the good work, and, you know, when time comes, when the ball bounces that way, you know, we'll pick it up.
I was going to say that, reading through, like, your synopsis and stuff, I can get, like a Netflix feel from it, you know, and you have, like, a James Patterson style as well to your novels, and so that's really good.
Thanks.
I think it's one of those things, either you have a talent for it or you don't. It will just come to you naturally. I always tell Nikki that it either have it or you don't.
And with you writing a seven book series, that's definitely a Netflix series.
Yeah, very much so. You know,
somebody could definitely pick
somebody.
That up.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to get out here and, you know, put my best foot forward. I have the meet and greet / book release at 1 today. So I'm going to, you know, sort of spread my wings a little bit. See, this will be my first. Thank you. Thank you very much. This will be my first one that, I mean, I went to a book fair. What was that? January? And I met some very interesting people. I'm in the St. Louis area, and I didn't know that there were that many writers and authors in this area. So, and there was a lot of them that didn't even show up because it was like an ice storm that morning or day before. And it kind of hindered the attendance, I would say. But I still met some interesting people that, moving forward, you know, I can see myself dealing with or supporting, because they're very supportive as well. So this will be my first event. I'm going to try to have one with every book that drops. So I'm on a 3-month schedule type. Yeah. What's this? Yeah. March, June, September, December. I'm on a 3-month book drop. Every 3 months, I'm dropping a book. I did 2 on December and 2 this time to try to clear my plate a little bit. I mean, it was hectic. I had to I had to push to do it, to get it done. But moving forward, it'll only be one every 3 months. I wanted to put multiples out again with the new cover, but I wanted to give the readers, you know, options. I just didn't want to keep throwing the same book down your throat. So I wanted to give the readers options. So, every 3 months, you're going to have a different option as opposed to, You know how long it would actually take me to drop 24 books?
No, I can't even picture that. I'm trying to do a trilogy. I'm not even thinking it's about that.
You're going
to
go on track right there.
I
have to just go. Keep shoving it in your face. Here go a book. Here go a book. Here go another one.
That's it. You know, like you say, saturate the market with it, though. I mean, that is about the schedule, if you can keep to that ambitious schedule. that's a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, every 3 months, and I mean, that's like every quarter, you're coming out with a new book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I'm just trying to do something different. Give the world something different.
I think it's good.
Definitely.
You taking time and you found something, and then you obviously really enjoy it, and it comes to you naturally. And then you're doing something positive as well. So you're being a mentor, so to speak, for other writers who there, and they may have a book. Or I always tell them, I said, just start writing. You know, a lot of people ask me, how do you start writing? You just need to start. I think everybody pretty much has a book in them. It's just having the discipline to get it all down on paper and actually get it out there. That's another story.
Yeah, I get that question a lot because I have a lot of people that knew me before. So they see me now doing this. They're like, how you write a book? I was like, I just sat down, picked up a piece of paper and a pen, and I wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at me like I'm crazy because to me it was that easy. I made my mind up and I did it. So they were like, well, I want to write a book. I said, well, my first suggestion to you is any thoughts you get pertaining to a book or the book you want to write, write it down. I said,
uh-huh.
I end up with pages and pages, pieces of paper. It might be a back of a receipt or a back of an envelope or whatever it is. Anytime I was getting a thought for a book or the book I had already started thinking about, I wrote it down. So I'm like, you need to write it down because at some point when you sit down to actually write it, you may not remember all that. So if you got some notes to go back to, that'll create another thought that you make an add, or it can basically kickstart your creativity so you can go in the right direction. Then I always tell them to do a character outline and a story outline. Because, you know, just because I write an outline don't mean it's going to happen, because I might start writing today, I might be in a jovial mood, and it might go right or it might go left. So I need this outline to get me back on track to where I'm going.
Uh-huh.
So they like, well, that seems like it's too much. I'm like, well, that's my system. Or you asked me a question, so I told you. That was my system. I gave it to you. You know, I mean, take what you need out of it or
not. It's about
how
you have to do it, though. I mean, that's how my system is, too, though. I get an idea. I have to outline it. I have to keep going back to that outline. Otherwise, my story would keep changing, depending, like you say, on your mood, where you're writing. Maybe something that you read has influenced it. So you do have to have, for me anyway, you have to have that type of structure. And I don't think people realize that the discipline part of it is really hard, to sit there in front of the computer and, you know, you're trying to express yourself the best way you can by keeping that reader's attention and stuff. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm. But I find the best way is just close your eyes and you just see it. If you see it, there it goes. You just find
mm-hmm.
a way to verbalize it through your fingers on the screen. But it's it's weird because I guess it comes so fluid for me. I don't know. Like once I wake it up, it's woke. It's like, don't stop. What are you stopping for? My finger's tired. Well, I need to get this out of my head. You started it. Now you want to stop typing. No, we need to keep typing. Well, my finger's tired. What do you mean? We got to come to a healthy medium here.
Do you find that with having the chapters on there, do you get a lot of feedback from people already about the books?
I do not actually. I'm trying to get my web designer to change this to where people can leave a review on the site, so I can see that. Outside of those that I know personally that has bought it and read, I get good feedback. I have got feedback from guys that has downloaded it and read it and was like, man, I can't wait for it to come out. I can't, you know, can I get my copy first? And I'm like, no, you got to wait like everybody else. But I do get it, but I want to get it to where I can, it can be seen on this website by everyone.
Okay.
So that's why I'm currently going to work on that, getting with him. So he can change, add that to my website. But overall, yes, I do get positive feedback. It may be one or two people that I guess I'm just not their type of writer, or my story doesn't pertain to what they kind of like to read. So they be like, well, I don't know. It was okay. I'm like, all right, you know. You're entitled to your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't let that affect me. I mean, I've let hundreds of people read this for free in prison, and they couldn't wait for me to get out, for me to put them out so they can buy one or have somebody they know buy one. So, I mean, the world, like I tell you, it's millions and millions of people that read books daily. So I have to push forward where I can connect with those that want to read it and have no problem, or give me positive feedback or negative feedback, whatever that feedback is, like, it's all welcome. And keep moving forward, because I'm going to find my fan base. I'm going to get me an established fan base, some loyal followers, to where, I mean, all the naysayers, you know, they can say what they want to say. They say, if you don't have haters, you're not doing nothing. If I got a couple of haters, I guess I'm doing something already.
Nikki, you had a question, right?
I did. I was going to ask him if he felt like some of his characters in his books are based, after you've written them, when you went back and read them, did you feel like you knew that person, or you've come across that person before? And you done wrote, you know, this character about him in a book?
My mother tells me a couple of them are me. So, I mean, at one point, like, there was, I had met a couple guys in prison that was writing, and they were saying that there was certain publishing companies that was paying guys in prison $10,000 for a book. So, under that theory, because I had stopped reading a lot of fiction. At that time, I was reading a lot of, like, self-motivation, self-help, that type of stuff. So I was like, no, they kept trying to get me to read. You know, read this. You ain't read this? No, I don't read. I can write that. So from saying that, I continually said that for, like, 2 years. Like, well, I'm going to read that. I can write that. So when the idea come of, okay, you can probably write a book and get $10,000. I was like, well, excuse me, I have quite a few years left. I can write 10, 15 of them. If I sell them off for $10,000, I can go home with $100,000, $150,000. That what kick-started writing. So I initially wrote it on paper, and it took me a while. That was in 2012. So I write here, I write there, I write. But then when I sat down and I typed it, it wasn't long enough. It was probably 100 pages typed. So then I found they had this little AlphaSmart thing that you can plug up to the copy machine. So, but when I actually wrote it and actually rewrote it and actually continued to extend to 40 chapters, and I went back and read it, I realized how much of my emotion and how much of myself that, I mean, based off what had transpired in my life to a certain extent up to that time, I had put so much of that in there in different characters through the emotions, through the actions.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can't just sell this for no $10,000. I said, I'd probably pretty much better off, you know, putting it out myself, establish myself as an author. I mean, because for me to sell it to someone else, they put their name on it. Okay, they might already have a notoriety. Boom, they're going to make a lot of money. But then I'm going to be stuck with $10,000 and no notoriety.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so, yeah, there's a lot of people I know. I guess a lot of them are me. In a sense. I use a lot of names of people that I know, like David in Death of a Boy, that was my father's name. The girl that he's actually is one of his best friends and will actually be his girlfriend, that's my mother's name, Crystal. Her brother, Kenyatta, that's one of my childhood friends. So there's a lot of names that I use in my books that are people that are in my life, or I just know their name, period.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's why I asked that question, because after you said you're in prison, you were writing, and you, after you reread it to see, like, who is that person? I know that person, you know?
Yeah. So I have a, well, when I'm in school, the instructors and her daughter read multiples and multiples on loved ones. So it's a standing joke to where, okay, they may say something to me and I may not respond immediately. And they'd be like, what card are you today? Who are you? I'm like, what do you mean? Who were you? Well, you've been calling your name and you ain't said nothing. So who were you? You was DP, you was AP, you was Richard, what's your name today? I'm like, man, leave me alone. So, but it's something I enjoy. I definitely enjoy it.
That's good. And we have like about, probably we're getting down to the last 10 minutes, so I want to make sure everybody has your information. So can you give them your author page and where you'll be today for your book signing?
All your
social media.
Yeah, this is like, you need to get a pen and some paper. I got like so many of them, but I have two Facebook pages. I have one for author Asia LeGrand Blount, and I have one that is this Asia LeGrand Blount. It was Asia LeGrand Presents, but Facebook made me change it for some reason. It's Asia, AJA LeGrand, LAGRA. ND Blount, BLOUNT. I'm on Instagram at Asia_LeGrand_presents. I'm at Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Asia LeGrand. My website is AsiaLeGrandPresents.com. Today I will be at the Venice Recreation Hall in Venice, Illinois. From 1-5 meet and greet / book release for Death of a Boy and A Vulture's Bond. Something else. I don't have the links for Amazon. But you can go, I mean, you can type my name in on Amazon and all the books I put.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one thing I noticed from your website. It says that yours is a one-of-a-kind name. Do you find that that helps people to find you? I know with mine being different, too, that helps people find me easier. Do they find you easier with you having a unique name like that?
Yes. And actually, that's what it means, unique. Well, initially, they think I'm a female. That's why I had to put the pictures. I know I'm a good, I mean, I don't really, I'm a standoffish type of person. So I guess I'm an introvert, too introvert. But I would prefer that you just enjoy my book and not see me. But I know I have to get out of that. So, but, it,
yeah.
Like, I would get inboxed and they'd be thinking I'm a female. So I'm like, well, no, I'm sorry. I am a mister. I am a male. I am a man. So I had to put the pictures on my Facebook page. Well, actually, all my pages, so they can see. that I'm a man. Now, back in 1979, when she named me this, I'm probably was one of the only ones, or maybe out of the few, so didn't have social media, so you didn't realize that you have 13 girls with this name already. But over time, I have came across a few females with the name, and they all look like, wow. Well, they pronounce like Asia, like the continent. Uh-huh. Or they just totally destroy my name. AJ, Aja. No, it's a strong A with a strong J. So, yeah, it's definitely, it stands out. I mean, that's my whole name. That's my full name, AJ LeGrand Blount. I was given by that name at birth, so it helps in that sense. Once, especially when they find out I'm a man, they can like, oh, okay. So, like the person that had the book fair a couple months ago, her name was Aja, but it was Aja Lachey, I think, something like that. And she said her mother grabbed the name from the same Steely Dan album my mother grabbed the name from.
Okay.
That was the name of the album cover and a song, Aja.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Nikki, any last questions before we wrap up? We got like about 9 minutes.
No, I think he's answered all of the questions that was brewing in my head.
Uh-huh.
Did you give all of your information? Was that everything you gave for today?
Okay, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, location.
Okay.
I'm not giving you my phone number.
You want people?
I don't know if you
want to
put. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Put your phone number out there.
Yeah, that might be.
You might not open that up.
Right. I'm,
yeah. No, not that one.
Right. Well, I gave the website. I mean, is there anything other? I don't know.
Yeah, and I'll definitely share it on all my pages as well. I shared your event on Prosie's Corner page on Facebook and stuff, and I can put it on my Instagram so people will know how to get in touch with you and definitely check out your books. Congratulations again. It's very impressive what you're doing. Just keep up the good work. Hope today goes extremely well for you. You'll have to come back and let us know how it went.
Oh, no problem. I definitely do that. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. We are so glad. This is very interesting. We're looking forward to reading them. I already downloaded a couple of the chapters anyway that I'm going to read. So, yeah.
Which one?
From Death of a Boy.
Okay. All right. So don't be mad at me. Well, don't be mad at me. Be mad at Clarice. Don't be mad at me.
Okay.
I just made the stuff up. that Death of a Boy is my mother's favorite book.
Okay.
Okay. If your mother liked it, then.
Yeah.
She just don't like it for the name in it, but she likes it. She loves it. She tell everybody. She probably going to try to get everybody to buy that book first. This is my favorite book. She's going to tell everybody that.
That's good when you have mom's stamp of approval.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
mom. She loved that one.
That's great. Yeah, but definitely keep in touch with us and let us know how things are going. We'll definitely help you promote anything we can do. Just reach out to us. We're here. Being a writer myself, I know how it is. So, you know, in our community, we have to support each other, especially with your ambitious schedule. That's a lot. So definitely don't push yourself too hard, but we're looking forward to the different series that you come out with and seeing where it goes from there. I really see you going into a show. I really do.
Netflix.
Thank you. My motto now is I'd rather be tired than broke.
Amen to that.
But
right.
I appreciate this. Thank you. I will be in touch. Speak with you soon.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Well, have a great day.
Yes. All right.
We'll talk to y'all next Saturday.
Okay.